wcroswell@thornhillcounty.com.
Okay, so it was to the county email address. We'll reconfirm for you.
I'll check it out.
Any more discussion? A motion to accept the council report as information. So moved by Councilor Cremenza. Those in favor? Carried. Next item is 11A, correspondence, Galena Country Performing Arts Association, page 41.
Mr. Chair, just prior to dealing with this item, I wanted to point out that I've had the occasion to converse with members, residents of Thornhill County as to what gets onto the agenda under correspondence. And there's been quite a bit of information that the administration has simply copied and provided council with, put it without putting it on the agenda. And under a procedural bylaw, it's silent in terms of what type of correspondence should come onto a council agenda, whether for information or whatever the piece is. In fact, our current procedural bylaw doesn't even have a section on the agenda called correspondence. So I'm not sure how this particular, historically, how this section correspondence has come onto the council's agenda. In any event, I wanted to advise council, or to the advice of council, to our residents, that this issue is being reviewed as part of the new procedural bylaw, so there will be clear rules and understanding, and if people want to get written correspondence on the council agenda, there would be a clear process, not the lack of direction or the ambiguity that we now have in the process. So this really, in terms of information, could have been simply circulated as a copy to council and would not need to be on council's agenda. And with that being said, we simply ask for a resolution to accept as information.
Councilor Cremenza.
So moved. Accept as information.
Okay. Those in favor? Carried. So that concludes 11A. Then we would be to our 10 a.m. first delegation. And that's Mr. Gary Sandberg.
Gary Sandberg, as you know, I'm the Assistant Secretary of Municipal Service and Legislation with Government Municipal Affairs. With me this morning, I have Colin Duke, who is the Director of Municipal Capacity Building, and Tim Seafeld, who is the Director of Communications with Municipal Affairs. We're here this morning on behalf of Minister Danielle Larrivée, Minister of Municipal Affairs. She's asked me to come here this morning and to convey to you that she is very concerned with continuing dysfunction on the Thornhill County Council. Recent decisions indicate that the council still has not grasped the serious nature of the minister's concerns or the importance of complying with the spirit as well as the letter of the directives. Thank you. The spirit as well as the letter of the directives issued earlier this year. In the minister's opinion, it's time for council to focus on providing responsible and accountable governance to the community. And to that end, Mr. Larrivée has issued two additional directives. I will provide copies to you shortly, which you are strongly encouraged to act upon today at this council meeting. I will read you the specific text, and then I'll give you a bit of background about them. So this comes under Ministerial Order Number NSL 166-15. The order reads, I, Danielle Larrivée, Minister of Municipal Affairs, because of an inspection conducted under Section 571 of the Municipal Government Act, consider that Thornhill County is managed in an irregular, improvident, or improper manner, and pursuant to Section 574 of the Municipal Government Act, make the following order, that the Council and Chief Administrative Officer for Thornhill County must carry out the directives attached as Schedule A to this order. This Minister order is dated the 7th of December, 2015. Directive number one, sections 169 to 173 of the NGA set out the requirements that apply when a counselor has a pecuniary interest in a matter. Section 174 of the NGA sets out reasons for disqualification from counsel. Section 175 requires a counselor who is disqualified to immediately resign from counsel, and where the counselor fails to do so, sets out a process for counsel to apply to the Court of Queen's Bench for an order declaring the person to be disqualified from counsel. Based on the legal opinion provided to me, the Minister of Municipal Affairs, pursuant to Initial Order Number MSL 11915, Directive Number 4, I direct counsel to make application to the Court of the Queen's Bench for an order declaring Councillor Larry Sisson to be disqualified from counsel for violating Section 172 of the Municipal Government Act. I further direct that the minutes show the names of the councillors present and whether each councillor voted for or against the resolution to make the application or abstained. I further direct that the results of the vote on the resolution to make the application, including the names of the councillors present, and whether each councillor voted for or against the resolution to make the application or abstained, be provided to the ministry. Directive number two, I direct council to obtain my consent or direction before commencing any other legal proceedings or court applications before April 29th of 2016. With the exception of the direction made in directive number one of this order, I further direct council to cease until April 29th of 2016 any other legal proceeding or court applications that may be in process to have other councillors disqualified from council. I further direct that for any council resolutions made before April 29th, 2016 regarding legal proceedings or court applications, the minutes show the names of the councillors present and whether each councillor voted for or against the resolution or abstained. I further direct that the results of votes on any council resolutions made before April 29, 2016, regarding legal proceedings or court applications, including the names of the councillors present and whether each councillor voted for or against the resolution or abstained, be provided to my ministry. So to give you a bit of, explanation or background, the first directive requires a council resolution to move forward with a court application to determine whether Councillor Sisson should be disqualified. The ministry has reviewed the legal opinion received by council last week and has determined that there are sufficient grounds to proceed with a court application. Council's failure to act on this matter last week is not supported by the facts in the legal opinion, and therefore the minister is directing council to take action now. Of course, Councillor Sisson would be required to leave council chambers while the discussion and the vote on this matter take place. However, Councillor Sisson would be required to return to council chambers after the vote has occurred for the subsequent discussion that will need to occur and the vote on the council resolution required in the second directive. The second directive requires council to obtain the minister's consent before commencing any legal proceedings or court applications prior to this coming April. This directive also requires council to cease any other legal proceedings or court applications that may be in process with respect to councillor disqualification. As a result, this directive requires a council resolution to rescind the resolution of last week regarding an application for disqualification of councillors Hanasik and Gromenska. The inspection report presented to council in September spoke very clearly to this matter and found no reasonable evidence to support a court application. Council's action in passing this motion last week is not supported by facts, does not reflect good governance or responsible stewardship of local taxpayers' dollars. When this motion is debated, Councillors Hanasik and Gromenska must leave the council chambers and while discussion and the vote on the resolution take place. This will require that Councillors Sisson, Croswell, and Burren are at present in order to form quorum. Failure to ensure quorum will result in failure to comply with the minister's directive. I want to stress that the consequences of failing to comply with the ministerial directive can be very severe, including the possibility that the minister may disqualify any councillor who fails to comply with the directive. Our hope had been that you would be in a position to address these issues this morning. I see that it may be difficult to address the second directive. Able to address the first one. The directives must be complied with by December 18th of this month, so you will need to consider how you can approach the second directive. Before I close my comments, I've been asked to briefly address two other matters. Firstly, is the matter of judicial review. Last week, Council passed a resolution to seek a judicial review of the Inspector's report and the Minister's directives. The Minister has clearly acted at all times within the legislative authority that is set out in the Municipal Government Act, and I am quite confident that any legal advice that you seek would almost certainly confirm this. In that light, Council's decision to seek judicial review does not reflect either good governance or responsible stewardship of taxpayers' dollars. Nonetheless, at this time, the Minister is not issuing a directive against this application. The Minister does not wish to be seen to be eliminating Council's right of appeal. However, we are very concerned about the frivolous use of taxpayers' dollars, and so we will continue to monitor Council decisions very closely. And to that end, I would address the second item I want to raise for your awareness. Minister Larrivée is currently considering the need to appoint an official administrator to supervise Council. Appointment of an official administrator is not an action that we take lightly. We believe very strongly in the autonomy of councils to act in the best interests of their residents. However, the inspection report and council's subsequent actions have indicated that council continues to struggle to provide responsible leadership. So again, I note that we will be monitoring council's actions very closely, and a decision on whether to appoint an official administrator will be made very soon. Mr. Chair, I regret that I've been required to come out here today to deliver this message to you and your council. I sincerely hope that the Minister's additional directives, supplemented by my additional comments, will help council to fully understand the seriousness of this situation and to recognize the need to move forward in a more productive and responsible manner. I thank you for your time and attention, and I will leave it in your hands to determine how to move forward. I will hand out copies of the Minister's order and directives.
Sure, if Mr. Sandberg is going to take any questions or comments. I feel that that this whole inspection process and the minister's directives were very authoritative, dictatorial. We were never given a chance to respond to what was in the report. We did send, Councillor Sisson, Brin, and I did send a letter of concern to the Minister regarding much of the information in the report. It was full of misinformation. It dealt with about 14 decisions that Council made, which is what we were elected to do, to make decisions. And here again today we have the same thing. The minister, and I'm sure that she's not aware of what was in the inspection report and all the inaccuracies in the inspection report. And here we're again given two extra directives. It's as if this is a slap in the face in democracy, and I think every resident in Thorold County should be appalled and disgusted. For one thing, how could municipal affairs justify an inspection into the conduct of council that had only been serving for 8 months and a CAO who was hardly on the job for 2 months when the petition started? This council was elected on a platform of change. We were moving in a new direction. The public elected us with an overwhelming, solid majority. They wanted change as to the way things were operating before. And as I said, the inspection and directives is a real slap in the face of democracy. We were condemned for doing what we were elected to do, make decisions based on the platform on which we ran, and the residents were very clear as to what our platform was. The inspection failed to identify the real problem. After the 2013 municipal election, the political views of two councillors and their supporters were no longer the views of the majority. They could not accept this democracy. The inspection report did not follow the scope of what is covered in a normal inspection. It focused on decisions we made that two councillors and a few of their supporters didn't agree with. It was defamatory. It was full of false and incomplete information. It was extremely biased and overwhelmingly negative. And then you wonder why we're applying for judicial review. Other than council, CAO, and some staff, Mr. Farmer only interviewed disgruntled residents, ex-councillors, and ex-employees. It appears that he may have even interviewed previously dismissed CAO Squire. He refused to interview with at least 10 people who were very supportive of this council, CAO, and our new direction. The petition was signed by two long-serving councillors with close ties with the local MLA, Jeff Johnson, and people in municipal affairs. The petition was also signed by all senior directors in administration, so obviously there was a lot of people that did not like the new direction which council was moving. So that's my two bits for this morning, and I think that this is just a real slap in the face, and I think Thornhill County residents should be absolutely disgusted and should overwhelm municipal affairs with letters of concern. Apparently, it's municipal affairs, a couple councillors, and their disgruntled supporters that are running the county. It's not the residents of the county. This council, in the short time that CAO Kolowoski was CAO, we accomplished more than any was ever accomplished.
Point of order. Okay, I made a statement last meeting, at the beginning of the meeting. Any disruptions, and I'm going to have to ask people to leave. This isn't a gong show here. We're here to do good business, and I made that clear. You know, this... It may appear to some that this is a gladiator sport in politics. It's not. People's lives are affected daily by government, and we should be learning to respect one another. So please, keep yourselves contained.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that this council and CAO Kolowoski, it's the first time in Thornhill County history that a comprehensive strategic plan was done that involved the residents with three open houses and a very comprehensive citizen survey. We wanted to make sure that we were representing the residents of the county. And with this, everything was running smoothly, like a well-oiled machine. Things were going along fine in this municipal inspection, and I'm 99.9% sure that the outcome of this inspection was predetermined before it even started because of the political influence from the province. And it threw a pipe wrench into our operations, and everything is at a standstill still now. And we can't do anything without all these calls going to municipal affairs and then coming back and wrapping our hands. And as far as the disqualification, we have a legal opinion that clearly said two councillors are disqualified and should resign. We had a legal opinion. It was very clear. And now we get direction that we can't do this. So we're told, we're criticized for not following the MGA, and then when we follow the MGA and do what needs to be done, we get stopped. This is terrible, and I hope it gets out to the public and all over. This is absolutely ridiculous.
Any other comments from council? So what we have here is two directives, and one is to pass a motion to... I'm just going to read this over here. I direct council to make application to the Court of Queen's Bench for an order declaring Councillor Larry Sisson to be disqualified from council for violating Section 172 of the MGA. So we're supposed to pass one resolution related to that, and it's supposed to be a recorded vote. And that's all we're going to do today, is right? Is that directive number two would be any legal proceedings or court applications would have to be directed to Mr. Sandberg, right?
To the minister, yes.
To the minister or Mr. Sandberg?
Hopefully it would be to the department.
Yeah.
Okay. So... Just before we get started on that in relation to the delegation, I just wanted to make a comment. And I corresponded with Mr. Sandberg regarding this, and I had issued a notice on behalf of myself and members of the public, politically active members of the public that were excluded. I even witnessed one of them speaking to Mr. Farmer in this very room, and that individual was not ever interviewed. And I was not given opportunity to provide any information. I was excluded from the process as well. So it's kind of interesting to me. I believe the report stated that the former councillor or councillors were interviewed, but somebody on council couldn't provide information. I really don't think Minister Larrabee is completely aware of all of this. And in my correspondence with Mr. Sandberg at the I was given some encouragement at AAMDC regarding the notice that it should be on Municipal Affairs website, giving proper notice to the government and to the public. And one thing that I've been learning, I'm not a lawyer, but what I have learned is that if somebody hires a contractor, they're responsible for the contractor. And perhaps maybe it's due time that notice get published on Municipal Affairs website so that the public can really come to terms and start knowing what's really going on. Because myself, as a counselor, it's horribly insulting to what I experienced with the inspector and then being muzzled where you can't provide any information. Very disturbing. It's very disturbing. So, any other comments from council?
So, Mr. Chair, I'd like verification from Mr. Sandberg. If we vote against this motion, is there a possibility that we would be dismissed?
Under the Municipal Government Act, the minister has the authority to take action against any councillor or administration that fails to implement a directive of the minister. That action includes the possibility of being disqualified from council.
Well, I'll vote in favor because I don't want, because we have things that have to be dealt with, and I'm not going to put myself in this position. But I think that's a terrible position for an elected official to be put into it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see how Minister of Municipal Affairs would like it if she was put in that position.
Yeah. Negative surprises aren't a good thing. I remember our acting CEO informing us that surprises are something council should work to avoid, and either good or bad. And this is horribly insulting today. I just want to be on record for that. It's, you know, our community has been struggling, and we want our community to prosper, and events like this aren't helping us. But what we'll do is we'll continue on, and we have, I'm just confirming, we have one directive to fulfill today, and that would be to pass a resolution to make application to the Court of Queen's Bench for an order declaring Councillor Larry Sisson to be disqualified from council for violating section 172 of the MGA. So, I'm just going to read this over. Move by that council make an application to the Court of Queen's Bench for an order declaring Councillor Larry Sisson to be disqualified from council for violating section 172 of the MGA. And we have the recorded vote. That's good. Any discussion?
Meet a member of council, Mr. Chair, to make the motion.
Oh, pardon me, I'm one step ahead. Move by.
I'll move, Mr. Chairman, and following the directive set out by the minister, ask that this be recorded vote as well.
So it's moved by Councillor Gometza. Any discussion? Those in favor? Carried unanimously. And then as for the second directive, I'll just read that out here again. I further direct council to cease until April 29, 2016, any other legal proceeding or court applications that may be in process to have other councillors disqualified from council. I further direct for any council resolutions made before April 29th, 2016 regarding legal proceedings or court applications. The minutes show the names of the councillors present and whether each councillor voted for or against the resolution or abstained. And I further direct that the results of the votes on any council resolutions made before April 29th, 2016 regarding legal proceedings or court applications, including the names of the councillors present and whether each councillor voted for or against the resolution or abstained, by providing to my ministry. So number two, administration will be following up on number two to ensure that this is complied with.
Indeed, Mr. Chair, I think paragraph two of directive number two still remains for council to deal with, and that is, with the exception of the directive made in directive number one of this order, I further direct council to cease until April 29th, 2016, any further legal proceedings or court applications that may be in process to have other councillors disqualified from council. Given that council does not have a regular meeting until scheduled for December 22nd, I believe it would be necessary for council to call a special meeting of council to deal with this specific directive. And I think, as Mr. Sandberg, the Assistant Deputy Minister, mentioned earlier in his presentation, that Councillors Gometza and Hanasik would have to absence themselves from the council chamber, and that yourself, Mr. Chair, and Councillors Croswell and Sisson would have to deal with this specific directive, and that would be a resolution to rescind the direction to make application to disqualify both Councillor Gometza and Hanasik.
So is that be correct, Mr. Chair? Is that all in here? Like, I'm a bit confused as to how this directive two works. So
So, Mr. Chair, the directive requires that council rescind. The directive requires that council cease any legal action to disqualify any councillors other than the directive number one, which is to proceed with the action with council rescission. In order to cease that, you require a council motion, because in the previous meeting you passed a council motion and you need to rescind that motion. In order to do that, you need to have a quorum, and with both Councillor Hanasek and Councillor Kromeska being required to remove themselves from that conversation, you would need to have a meeting at which yourself, Councillor Sisson, and Councillor Croswell are present.
So, I'm a bit confused here. I read this over a few times. Does it specifically state in here to rescind a specific motion?
It requires you to cease any ongoing legal action with respect to disqualification of other councillors. And the tool you would use to cease that action is a council resolution.
So, because I find this writing quite ambiguous, and is there any way you could give us some supplemental so that we all have a clear picture on it? So, or would administration do that for us, or how would we?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I'm not quite sure I follow. I spoke to this very specifically in my comments. The requirement is the council passes a resolution to rescind the resolution of last week. Because the directive is for you to cease any ongoing legal action to disqualify any councillor, and you have an ongoing legal action to disqualify councillors, so you need to pass a resolution to rescind the resolution that initiated that process.
Okay, now I'm starting to comprehend this. It's unfortunate that it's written in that way. It's very ambiguous, and to me it appears somewhat deceptive. But, you know, we're trying to digest all of this here, and, you know, this type of shock therapy doesn't help anything. So basically, directive number two is to rescind the resolution that was to make application for disqualification regarding Councillor Kromeska and Hanasek.
That's correct. There are two pieces to that directive. One piece is what you just mentioned, which is to cease that action. The second is that you will require the minister's permission before you initiate any other legal action between now and April 29th of 2016.
And this is this to have a recorded vote as well?
That's correct.
Okay. Good. Now it's starting to make sense. I read it over about four times. We've completed directive one, and so directive two, we have to set a special meeting for when we have quorum.
Correct.
Okay. So, and did we have a resolution to accept the information with the delegation? We don't need one?
No.
Okay. So, going to double check where we're at here. So the next, we went over our delegation time. Oh, pardon me, over 10:30. The next one is 11:15 a.m. Stars Air Ambulance, and then 11:45 a.m. Community Youth Group Presentation. So do we have 11:15 delegation from Stars Air Ambulance, Glenda Farndon?
I don't believe they're here, Mr. Chair. And if I might accept, suggest to the chair and members of the council, we have an agenda for an Agricultural Service Board meeting. If you would like to deal with that agenda, and it shouldn't take more than 45 minutes, we could commence in 5 minutes. Deal with the Ag Service Board agenda scheduled for today, and then we convene council meeting at 11:15 for the STARS delegation, followed by the student delegation or the community organization delegation.
Okay, so we'll recess for 5 minutes.
Okay.